Hello, it is Friday, May 28th, Feel Good Friday from down here at the FanDuel Beach House in Tampa Bay, Florida. Can't thank you enough for choosing, or, you know, like, just making the decision. I don't know if you chose it. It might just happen naturally. It might just start it up. But whatever the case, the fact that you're listening right now, can't thank you enough for doing that. All right? There's a lot of things that can penetrate your ear holes. The fact you allow us to do so, I'm eternally grateful for. Now, today's show, a good feel-good day. Good calls, good conversation, good things to talk about, and that Hawaiian fantasy that Aaron Rodgers has been living in may be over with one punch in the mouth. Let's get to it. I got a spray tan this morning because Friday Night SmackDown is tonight. And my fashion choice for this evening required me not to be a pale, red-faced Caucasian stooge. So I got a spray tan. It appears as if it is working. I'll be excited to watch this thing grow as the show goes on. 1-833-4-McAfee for your phone calls. We got a lot of incredible things to talk about today. And joining us in studio, obviously, we got the Bugle Boys. What's going on? Toxic Table. How's it going? Ty and Connor.
Very well.
I appreciate you guys traveling down here every week. I understand it's not easy. Foxy and Zito are there. The boys are back in Indianapolis to hammer down boys. Hockey Talk, everybody. How you guys doing back there? Pretty good?
Good. I think you look good, Pat. I wouldn't be too hard on yourself.
Well, thank you. Diggs, thank you for that, dude. And I do know this comes one day after AJ Hawk was trying to get you fired as host of your show. And I don't know exactly if there's any potential narrative behind the compliment, but I want to let you know I'm going to take it because I think you're a man who has a good sense of culture and fashion and look.
No narrative, just a feel-good Friday, Pat.
Hey, you're right, feel-good Friday. Hammer Down Boys will be live at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, youtube.com/HammerDown. That's D-A-H-N. I assume there's a lot of things to bet on this weekend. I have no idea truly about it. NHL season is over. But joining us in studio every Friday, absolutely legendary human, host of the Man to Man podcast and also Everything DB, played 9 years in the NFL at corner, safety, nickel, you name it. Ladies and gentlemen, Darius Butler.
Yeah,
but it's always nice to get down here to Florida, and you know, it feels like a piece of us in Florida is getting a chance to share time with Darius Butler, both on the microphone, off the microphone. It's great seeing you, pal.
Great seeing you guys too, man.
I want to let you know that you and I have been on a story from the beginning, and that's Tim Tebow being signed to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
And the reason why we had been covering this so much is because it is Tim. They didn't pay. Good.
Get it out.
I mean, one's enough. I mean, Jesus.
They do a good job. They putting that all job. Over the label.
It is delicious. Yeah. Know that I would be drinking a Celsius right now if I could, but there's no Celsius on the island we're on.
No.
Mm-hmm. We did go to Celsius.com/buy-locate, yeah. And there's nothing here. We would have to travel across a bridge or two to get there, but we will do that eventually. But the Tim Tebow thing. Business-wise, we said this is what the NFL is, by the way. The NFL is a business, okay? Yep. It absolutely is a business. Tim Tebow made Urban Meyer millions. Hey! Millions of dollars. So, you know, a little payback guy wants to do is he's from Jacksonville. He's a legend in Jacksonville. I assume he sold like 10,000 jerseys day one of going into the NFL there and joining the Jaguars in the city, you know, that he was kind of king of there for a long time and I would assume still is. This seemed like the right move to make. Now we're getting footage of Tim Tebow, Darius Butler. Mm. Your thoughts after seeing him run a couple routes, block some people from OTAs here. Seems like he's getting after it. Looks like he has been lifting more than Bibles, my friend.
Yeah, he looks good. I haven't seen any footage. I've seen still pictures, but he looks in shape. I've heard Trevor talk about him, talking him up. You want to be around that guy, great locker room guy, like you said, from the business standpoint. He was top five last time I was here. I don't know where he is now.
Well, I think he was number one, actually, the last time you were there. I'd assume he's still...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. He was top five.
Yeah, top five.
Top five. He is top five. Yeah. The whole thing is him. And do we have any... Yeah, here it is. Look at him. All right, so let's go back to the beginning so we catch that thing. It's a little bit blurry. The camera is losing its mind.
Ah,
a little push off, a little stutter step. He caught two touchdowns.
Get your ass off me, Nate.
Yeah, get out of here. He caught two touchdowns yesterday in practice in OTAs. He dropped zero balls. I heard Ryan Clark this morning on First Take say...
These real stats.
This camera's continuing to get blurry.
Zero drops, two touchdowns?
Zero drops, two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Ryan Clark comes out and says... And Ryan Clark seems to be a little bit of a against the Tim Tebow getting signed to the Jaguars. And I have a lot of respect for Ryan Clark, obviously. But he was upset about the stat that he caught every ball because that's what he's supposed to do. He's a tight end. I just want to let you know, I don't think we knew he was a tight end yet, Ryan. He is a tight end, no.
Oh, yeah.
He's catching every ball out there. Yeah. He's making moves. He's scoring touchdowns. He's selling merch. He's every. This is a home run for the Jags.
He's doing everything we thought he would do. He's checking off all the boxes. I'm just waiting for that that over-under to change. It's still at 12?
For yards, 16 or something. No, it might have been 12 yards. Okay. Might have been 12 yards.
That in route, I mean, Darius Leonard is going to eat Tebow's lunch if he steps on the same field as the Colts.
I think that's what Ryan Clark was referring to. He saw that clip, and then he was like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
So
we must be watching something else.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Look how fast he gets out of that break. I mean.
Let's just talk about his pad level, first of all. Okay. He was low. He was low on, who was that? Who was that? You said that was Rob Ninkovich. Rob Ninkovich is that pad. And he gets, look at the bend, you know? The athletic Now he's potentially getting washed right into the ground there. But he is Tim Tebow. He's coming up, pushing him off. This is what, his third day playing tight end?
Yeah, it's early, man.
We're getting to see a fawn take its first steps here.
Nice tuck.
3,000 days, maybe. And then he'll be on like, okay, now this guy's a four-string tight end.
What is your deal?
Look, I've been on the TV train until I saw this. This is so bad. There's no way he is going to catch a pass
day
in the NFL.
Four.
If it's not a two-yard out route.
The guy just learned how to put on gloves. He just learned to put on gloves. And he doesn't get to use what are the ones that are like the cutters?
The cutters.
He has to use Nike because he's a Nike guy. Imagine if he got to use cutters. Oh. Just wait until you see he's going to start.
Well, if he used cutters, then his hands would probably get ripped off from his body because they stuck to his gloves so well.
Well, you're thinking.
There's no way Tebow is going to be running down the seam catching touchdown passes. I was hoping for it.
Caught two touchdowns.
I was hoping for it. Yeah, on air.
We don't know if it's on air.
The Jags go out there.
We don't know. Hey, Tebow, we don't know if it's on air. Don't you even buy into that.
Without defense, if they go out there and play a team with 11 guys who are air, then hey, maybe Tebow's got a shot.
Okay, so we covered Tebow. All right, that's a good start here. First 9 minutes, we got Tebow done. We got the clip done for Tebow. That's great news. We'll probably have to talk about this a lot more because it does feel as if, especially going into this Memorial Day weekend.
Hey!
Long weekend for everybody, including us. You know, big time Coca-Cola 600 on Sunday Fox at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a big weekend. I hope everybody enjoys themselves. But here on this particular Friday, you know, the week before the June 1st deadline in the NFL contracts and really, you know, nothing else happening. Julio is still there. You know, there's really only one thing that is different other than us getting some Tebow footage. You know what that is, Darius? Miles Teller got punched right in the fucking mouth, allegedly.
Yeah.
There are reports now that Miles Teller, yes, Miles Teller, Kelly Teller,
allegedly.
Shailene Woodley, Aaron Rodgers have been enjoying Hawaii to the 15th degree.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jumping off of waterfalls, mm-hmm. playing guitar, singing and dancing, throwing up the shakas. Okay, eating, having a good time, on the internet. Kelly Teller actually put out a tweet put out the Instagram post while they were learning the Taylor Swift song or something. It said something about trolling the best or whatever, mm-hmm. okay? Then all of a sudden, Miles Teller yesterday posts another photo from them at a restaurant saying, celebrating signing with the Packers. Cheers to signing with the Packers. It's like, okay, trolling again. Like, did Aaron sign with the Packers? Did Miles Teller? Is this how Aaron said you can get right? You signed Miles Teller, to play a little running back? Okay, if that happens, I do believe the white privilege conversation will come to the forefront of conversations. If Miles Teller was to get signed, and that was what that tweet was alleging to, I was excited for the fallout of that. It was going to be big. Who knows what that seems like? He was trolling a little bit, and then all of a sudden we wake up this morning and TMZ is reporting that Miles Teller allegedly got punched right in the mouth at a restaurant in the bathroom. We can't guarantee that it is this. By the way, We'll get to all of that. We cannot guarantee that the picture he posted from the restaurant is the restaurant, but I have a theory on how this potentially all came about. Miles Teller, Kelly Teller, post a picture probably taken by Aaron Rodgers at a restaurant, or Shailene, whether maybe it's the server, maybe they're having their own time, who knows, sitting out front of a restaurant, right along the rail, seems to be wide open. He posts that, thinking he's going to troll Packers fans or NFL fans. He then finds out quickly that that wasn't the only people that saw that. A wedding planner from Hawaii, Maui, is alleging that Miles Teller has owed him $60,000 since 2019. This is all the alleged story. He sees that photo. He goes, fuck, they're right there. His friend goes, hey, who's, you just going to let him do it? He's like, hey, 60 grand, the guy. He's like, no, we're going over there. Goes over there, sits down, waits for old Miles to have to go to the bathroom, which we all... He's going to have to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
Okay, we see him partaking. Mm-hmm. He goes in the bathroom. They punch him right in the mouth. Now, is this Hawaii fairy tale life that they have been living going to continue, or is this thing abruptly end? Darius Butler, your first quick thoughts on Miles Teller getting punched right in the suckhole in Hawaii, in Maui, in a restaurant, hours or maybe even moments after posting him flexing, signing with the Packers? This is a wild time to be Miles Teller, I'd
assume. Pay your damn debts.
60 grand. Debts. 60 grand is a lot of money, by the
way.
It's
a lot of bread.
Hey, punching the head is something that could happen for 60 grand. There's other stuff that could happen with a 60 grand debt. I wonder if Miles saw the guy and was like, oh, I owe you 60 grand. Or did he not even know and just pow, right in the mouth. Oh, no, what are we doing? I thought I was jumping off waterfalls with Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley and my wife here. Wild time. You're a Packers fan, mm-hmm. Ty Schmidt. We've covered this Hawaii trip in depth.
Oh, yeah.
Because... he did the Kenny Mayne interview from Hawaii.
Yep.
We saw how happy he was in that interview, how happy he was in life, how much he was enjoying Hawaii. We had heard rumors, and LaFleur had to do press conferences. We had heard rumors that they had tried to reach out, try to figure something out. Now that Miles Teller, who has been having a time of his life waiting for Top Gun 2 to come back
out,
he's been punching the mouth. Your thoughts, Ty Schmidt, on this whole thing?
Well, like you said, things are getting a little unsafe down there, so I'd hate it if, but... I really don't see any other way that Raj might have to book a ticket home, head back to Green Bay, and suit up at OTA.
Oh, you're saying, hey, listen.
Well, I just...
We don't know what's... Who else does Miles Teller owe?
Bingo.
Who else does Miles... If the wedding planner is owed 60 grand, allegedly, this is all alleged. I was, by the way, my wife and I were trying to get married in Hawaii.
Yeah.
We love Hawaii. Hawaii is very much not a punch-in-the-mouth place, by the way. Hawaii is a place, as soon as you land there, it's actually just like, this place is fucking awesome. Like, hey, here we go. Like, it's very relaxing. You hear The Rock talk about a mana, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The mana, yes. You know, and everything. It's like an aura, basically. It's like you arrive at this place that is just the best place on earth. The weather's awesome. The people are awesome. Miles Teller, he gets punch-in-the-mouth for owing 60 grand. I was going to get married over there. You don't have to, but it's very inefficient to use anybody but the local florists, okay? The local food, the local entertainment, the local everything. Did Miles Teller just not pay anybody and thought he could just skip back in there?
Whoa.
Because if it's 60 grand to the wedding planner, I couldn't even tell you what the floral is probably over there. I was staring at some budgets of what the floral was. Beautiful flowers, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The rain, the weather, the everything. The flowers are gorgeous. I was staring at some of those budgets. Miles Teller might have two or three left hooks coming back at him before he gets off that island. And this is, once again, to the point. I know we're all locked down and got pretty comfortable in our living rooms. There's people out there that will still punch you right in the fucking mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Miles Teller, I hope this is the last one, but boy, you're right. Aaron needs to get out of there.
He does.
What's he doing?
Well, and like you said, 60K to the guy who's doing your suit. What if the caterer, who you owe 250K, shows up? Guess what? He ain't going to be punching you in the mouth.
He's going to be doing
a little something else. But we talked about this.
We don't know if Miles didn't pay anybody.
We don't know
if this is just somebody potentially popping off, getting a shot at Miles Teller and saying, hey, he owes me 60 grand.
Could be a Packers fan.
Yeah.
Who's just like, hey, listen, asswipe. All right.
Enough
with the stir in the pot. We talked about it before the show. Hey, listen, personal experience as a Big Ten angler, when you are trolling out there, sometimes you're going to catch something you're not expecting or you don't want to find. In this case, a big right hand from a pissed off Ouse.
Fist fish.
Yeah.
Was found on the other end of the line while trolling for Miles Teller. We'll keep you updated on that entire thing. Darius Butler. Aaron Rodgers a Green Bay Packer this year or not?
It's looking more and more like he will be a Packer this year. He's going to take the first snap.
You think so? Is it because of this punch in the face and you think this whole Hawaii fairy tale is going to end, or do you think they're going to get kicked off the island? Like, I think Aaron's probably in very good standing with the island.
Yeah.
There's no way they, because Aaron, I assume everybody on the island is like, this is not Aaron Rodgers' fault. Okay, he's been playing our guitars, he's been singing, he's been jumping, he's been doing, he loves this place, he's the best. They're probably not kicking him out, but I do wonder if, now, there was a time in college where I took a particular batch of mushrooms, okay?
Ooh, here we go.
All right. And, you know, when Bill Stewart became the head coach for the West Virginia Mountaineers my senior year after Rich Rod went to Michigan or whatever, because Bill Stewart was so close with all the players, he knew, you know, like how we got around some of the potential tests, okay? Sure. So he enforced them differently. And I think he wanted to get a lot of people out of there that he wouldn't have had on scholarship and wanted to do this whole thing. But we could no longer sleep with the Visine bottle in between our legs with somebody else's piss, go in and take the thing and then just kind of get on and smoke all the dope we want to smoke. Okay.
Right.
That we can no longer do that anymore. He shut that whole thing down. So obviously being creative, you know, we immediately went into, okay, mushrooms, you gonna spinal tap? Hey, Bill, you gonna spinal tap us? No? Okay, so we'll start trying out mushrooms a little bit. Not recommended for everybody, but I'm just saying, you know, that became potentially thing that we decided to try a few times. What the first?
So with the shrooms, you don't piss dirty?
Good. No, you have to spinal tap, actually. The issue, though, with the mushrooms is it can go one of two ways, okay? It's going to make you 10x whatever you're feeling inside. So you have to have a brain whenever you're going in there. If you are potentially in a point of your life where you are not confident or having second guesses about yourself or maybe uncomfortable with people, you should not do hallucinogens. You should not do mushrooms, because guess what? When you're in there, it's going to go 10x, yeah. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And it's like you have to remember you're going to come down. Like, hey, you're going to come down. At some point, you're going to come down. But with that being said, I think from looking at their vacation trip over there with how much fun they've had, I was on this one mushroom trip in college. I was having the time of my life walking around Morgantown, walking in and out of parties. Everybody, it was the best day of, maybe the best night I've ever had in my life. Me and my roommate, I don't want to out him, but it was Reed. Okay. Oh. We were walking around. All right. We're just walking around having the best time. And I thought to myself, I'm like, I hope this never ends. You know, like I hope this never, this is the greatest feeling of all time. Like the body felt good. Everything was funny. Everywhere we walked in, it was just like celebrations. It was like that never happened in Morgantown. There's always some shit you're going to run into. I was like, I hope this never ends. I hope this never, I think I'm going to do this forever. This is what I'm going to do forever. We need to find said farmer that got this mushroom from the cow shit. Mm-hmm. And we need everything they got over there. We need that particular type of cow shit mushroom. I'm gonna do this every single day. And Reed's like, can't do that. I'm gonna do this every day. This is my new me, by the way. This is the new me. This is what's gonna happen. And then I woke up the next morning, and obviously your dopamine's much different because you enjoyed it all the night before. So you're gonna hold it. It's like, oh my God. I wondered if that was potentially gonna happen with this Hawaii trip, because I assume there's a couple conversations over there with people who have enough money to do so where they're like, why don't we just do this forever? Like, hey, why don't we just jump off these waterfalls, sing, dance, have a great time? Why don't we just do this forever? We got the money to do it. And then all of a sudden somebody gets punched in the fucking mouth and it's like, oh, fairy tale's over. Here we go. Just woke up the next morning. There it is. Yeah. Everybody has a plan, you know, until they get punched in the face. But it looked like they had a great time. I don't want this to discount how great of a trip that probably was, Darius, just because old Miles Teller had to eat a right from Oos there at the end of the whole thing.
Looked like a vibe over there, man. Living their best life. I hope this didn't ruin it, man.
Have you ever paid your debts?
Pay
your debts. By the way, Clyde Christensen, you still owe me $20.
Ooh,
come on, Clyde.
Quarterback coach for a Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm in your city right now. You owe me $20. I made a putt in your office. We weren't betting for money at the time. It was just M&Ms, but we had a nice understanding that it was actually cash. And there's interest. You owe me $22.50.
Supposed to call Ooh, Uncle Jesse on the spot.
Hey, I got a call from him, by the way, yesterday. It was awesome. Yeah. Uncle Jesse was the banker in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
What a gig.
In-house bangers. The shit he's probably seen and the request he's had. Well, I'm down 10 grand in the locker room.
Can you please come down? And by the way, Uncle Jesse, gotcha. Here we go. Here we go. Come on down. And I believe Ursay also. That's the bank that Ursay uses on. Yeah. So Jesse has range. You know, Jesse is dealing with a lot of things, I assume. But he... Ah, the amount of stories. Have you ever gone on a trip, though, that you never want to come back from? I assume that there's a couple trips that you've gone on in your life where you're like, this would be awesome if this was every day. It's not. It never will be. But it would be awesome. You've taken a couple good trips, I assume?
Yeah, anytime you're on a good trip, island, water, like you kind of get that feeling. You're there three, 4 days, like, damn, I really got to go back. But I know some guys, one of my young guys, actually, I went to college with, he played probably 5 or 6 years in the league. And then he just went, took his kid and his girl out to Costa Rica and just never came back. So some people do it.
Hey, there are those people you meet at those resorts where I've worked here for like 17 years or whatever. Oh, yeah. Came down on a visit, just never went back or whatever. It's like, good for you, man. I don't know how you do it. We've all had that thought. Had that thought on a vacation. And then you come back to the real world and it's like, okay, here we go. I want to get back. Let's figure out how we get back there. I thought this was one potentially. You know, AJ said there was no way Aaron retires.
Right.
No way ever retires. He said that, by the way. He said, no, I'm not done or whatever. I'm going to do my thing. I can do both Jeopardy and that whole thing. I feel like I've been on a couple trips, both hallucinogen and vacation-wise, where I've been like, I want to do this forever. And I think Aaron has the capability to do things forever.
I wouldn't say no way. I'd give it a 20% chance.
That what?
He retires.
Oh, so
at least 20, 25.
Oh,
he's made
up.
A bunch of money.
Bunch of money. And you're out there singing. I mean, and having.
Smart as hell. Can do whatever he really wants to do.
Jeopardy, they're saying 10 to, I didn't say this. Somebody said 10 to 20 million a year to host Jeopardy.
And you're living in LA.
He's got that house in the boom.
To get to the postseason with Jeopardy as well. You know?
I didn't think there was any. I thought there was 0% chance. And, you know, AJ was largely because of that. I was just like, all right, there's no way he's going to retire. But as we've kind of dragged on here and gone, like, started the summer and he's been down in Hawaii, I have been like, ah, shit, he actually might just say fuck it and be done.
I don't think he'll retire. Now,
I don't think
remember,
so either,
when he and I were talking, he made before any of this stuff came out, it was when the Jeopardy was promoting Jeopardy. I think it was during his Jeopardy media run before it happened. He said, you know, a lot of people said you made a dumb decision. And by the way, Aaron did follow along through that entire thing. And I had heard about him. I heard from him through that whole thing. Like, hey, good luck almost, you know. And he saw a lot of people bash me. He's like, it's worked out pretty good for you, right? I'm like, yeah. And then the conversation just kind of went away. And then at night I was laying down and I was like,
was he alluding?
Is he? Like at night, I thought that. And then the next morning, I think that's when AJ was like, there's no way. And I think he went on to Shailene's like Instagram and it was like, he's able to do both or whatever. But I mean, nowadays, dude.
I mean, if he does it.
There's so much money out there.
You got to do it here.
What's that on this?
Yeah, just follow up Vinny.
Oh, Vinatieri.
You know?
There's no way that'll happen. Vinatieri, by the way, I assume there's some people that are pissed off with how that whole thing went down.
Oh, yeah.
I assume. And by the way, there was people at the Colts. I got texts from people at the Colts, people you know at the Colts, and they're like, hey, is this real? And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, is this, we want to put out like quotes and stuff because we feel like, but is this Vinny just like, is this Vinny fucking with people? Or like, you know how Vinny works. Like, is this Vinny just doing whatever? I'm like, oh, I have no idea. I was like, why don't you ask him? They're like, we have. He's not answered. I'm like, oh. I was like, so Vinny was stirring a pot over at the Colts or whatever. And I was like, yeah, that's on you to figure it out, you know. But the fact that Vinny is potentially fucking with the Colts, like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. You tell me. Hey, you tell me, pal. That's so funny to me.
Even better if he comes back after doing that. It's hysterical.
Everybody wanted me to retire. I said I retired. They're like, yeah, that's right. About time they were celebrating me. I'm fucking back. That'd be such a Vinny move. That'd be such a Vinny move. No. I think Vinny was just messing with the one particular person that we were referring to, and that's Conti. Yeah, Conti.
I gotcha.
Conti. Yeah, I think he was just Conti's the best. Hey, yeah, he's everybody's guy.
Conti, yeah.
The PR people at teams, and this is such a niche group of people that have no idea these people exist. But these people have to deal with, like, they used to back in the day just have to deal with the media and a couple players and a couple coaches, right? That's how it all used to be back in the day. This person's doing a press conference. These are the media people that are allowed to talk. They'll tell the story. If we need something broke, these people do it. Now with social media just kind of becoming what it is and every player basically being his own entity and it being his whole thing. This Conti guy was right there. I think his dad was even in the game for a long time, so he knows the NFL. He's been around. But he was like a junior deputy assistant in this whole thing. And then he moved up and then he was the one that had to come. He was the one that had to talk to me every time there was an issue. Mm-hmm. And then it was always just like, hey man, listen, listen. That's what he would always say. I know, but this is what I'm being, listen, this is what has to happen. No, tell them to go fuck themselves. I'm not going to do that, Pat. I can't do that. Yeah. It's like, well, Conti, that's you're the arbiter.
That's your
right?
job. That's,
yeah. I'm sending it right back there. And it's like he had to do that with like almost every situation, everywhere at all times. And now he's, I think, the head guy. He deserves
it. Yeah, you saw him climb all the way up the ladder.
He's the best, dude. He's not an easy job at all, trying to keep these billion-dollar operations, you know, PR-wise, in a, because there's a lot of shit that happens.
Oh, yeah.
Cleaning up dice games in the locker room.
Right, guys, like can you please fucking guys. Not do that now?
Come on, guys.
guys, there's a guy right here who just wrote that all NFL players are the worst people of all time. And now he's standing there, and you guys, just move the dice game just 10 just 10 feet out of the way. Hey, he came into our locker room, pal.
That's right.
Saw sanctuary, buddy.
Let's get to a break. The NFL is such an crazy world. That guy works in the NFL. There's a surgeon that works in the NFL.
Banker.
There's a banker. There's Hot Rod that works in the NFL. There's
Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow is back in the NFL.
Easterby.
I mean, it is just the wow. Easterby wow. is in the, running an NFL. We'll talk about the Houston Texans, by the way. Coach Dave's got no shot.
No.
That guy's got no shot, Coach Dave, down there. He's got no shot. But the range of humans in the NFL business never gets talked about. The Colts PR guy Conte's a good dude. Now he'll fuck us over sometime.
Every once in a while.
Because now we're in the media world, you know, and he does have to deal with us every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll remember it. I won't forget it. People go through many changes as we get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
For men, one of the less fortunate changes is that testosterone production begins to naturally decrease in the body. Did you know this, AJ?
I am aware.
For most men, it begins around the age of 30, and testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year.
My Whoa. God.
So if you live to 130, you ain't got shit left.
No, minus 30.
Well, if it starts around 30, this is one of those questions on a test where, you know, begins around 30, and the testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year. So does it start at zero or does it start at 30? That's the thing. This is where they can get you.
One of them damn word problems.
This is one of those problems where you're like, well, wait a minute. Which, can I ask a follow-up? Anyways, I was good at those tests because I always viewed it as me versus the fucking teacher.
That's right.
Okay? I don't know what's going on, but this is me versus you. Fuck you. That's how I view it. That's why friends at Roman have a new supplement designed to support testosterone production. I did not know this. They formulated their own supplements with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. You hear this, AJ? Roman's testosterone supplement is for anyone who wants to support their own body's natural function. They formulated their own blend with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/USA. Their supplement contains vitamin D3,
what?
Zinc,
what?
Magnesium,
what?
Maca,
what?
And ashwagandha in a unique blend designed by healthcare professionals that you can't get anywhere else. To learn more about these incredible ingredients, visit GetRoman.com/USA. Roman is offering $15 off your first order and will deliver your supplements right to your door with free 2-day shipping. When you go to GetRoman.com/USA, get $15 off your first order plus free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/USA. That's good news. Let's try that stuff.
Okay.
I've been looking for that type of stuff.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Now we know.
Hey, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman. Joining us now for the first time today on this Feel Good Friday, shout out to CBDMD from Columbus, Ohio. Well, actually, he's from Centerville, Ohio. Now he's over in the Columbus area. Mm-hmm. He is an Ohio State legend. It says that on his license plate. Ladies and gentlemen, Super Bowl champion, AJ Hall.
Yeah!
AJ, what's going on, pal? Is that Roback? Roback. That's a Roback. Hey, real quick. The Roback in my face.
Same color.
Pretty similar colors right now.
Your face is actually much darker than this shirt right now. Your face looks like it got a different spray tan than the rest of your body, especially your neck and your upper chest.
Well, you got to remember, my face is a different color than the rest of my body. I'm Irish white. I do have a red face on it. So it is a little change. I will shower here in about an hour or two, and I will turn a completely different tone. But I am cooking right now. I am currently baking, and I'm sure that it's only going to get more and more tan, like the equator came down and kissed me itself. But I'm excited to be here in Tampa. The big news today, though, AJ, okay, and it's not how good my tan is and how much of an Ohio State legend you are. It actually revolves around one of your best friends, getting punched right in the mouth within the last 12 hours. Miles Teller, star of Top Gun 2 or whatever the hell it is, alongside his wife, Kelly Teller, Shailene Woodley, and other best friend of you, Aaron Rodgers, and my best friend as well, gets punched in the mouth in the bathroom in Maui over a wedding debt allegedly worth $60,000 from 2019. I laid out what I thought happened. He posted this photo, said, I'm signing with the Packers or whatever, and then he's trolling. They're having the time of their lives. They're drinking whatever. Oos, who's owed 60 grand for 2 years, allegedly synced that. They're right there. Wait for him to go to bathroom. Punch him in the mouth. Couple questions to you as somebody who's hung around Miles Teller on a regular basis in the past. How's his jaw? Did he eat this, you think? Or did he owe 60 grand? Did he know he owed 60 grand? And is this whole Hawaii vacation over now?
I mean, I really don't have any idea. I would assume that I assumed they got into like a full blown fight rolling around the restaurant when I heard he was punched in the bathroom. I'm sure Miles wasn't going to back down. So there's got to be some kind of footage. Okay. Yeah. Right?
There are some answers there. Do you think Aaron was there? Do you think it was
I don't think Aaron was even there. Why you keep saying like Aaron? Don't you think if Aaron was there, this would be a bigger story and people would talk about it? Oh, Aaron had to break him up or something. You would say.
Well, Aaron didn't go to the bathroom with him, maybe, but maybe Aaron was at the restaurant. We don't know who took that photo, but the reason why we're talking about Aaron being there is because every other video and photo that has come from the Tellers in Hawaii, Aaron has been a part of it, pal. That is why we. But you're right. I would assume if Aaron was there. Wedding planner doesn't punch Miles Teller because Aaron probably does a fool like, hey, what are we even doing here? Don't even worry about this. Let's figure this out. But I was going to have a wedding in Hawaii. I talked about this earlier. It's not just a wedding planner. There's floral. There's catering. There's entertainment. There's space. What if Miles Teller just isn't paying any of his debts? What the hell is going on out there, Darius?
I mean, my question for AJ is Aaron more of a break it up guy or a jump in there guy?
That's a good question. I think, honestly, Aaron's definitely a jump in there. He's not scared to jump in if he knows it. He's not going to jump in and try to jump in on a fight with someone he's an acquaintance with. But if he's friends with somebody, yeah, I'm sure he's not like scared to get in there.
Well, so let's gotcha. I don't know how close they are. Seems like they're very close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I don't think Aaron should be jumping in the middle of Oos and Miles Teller over $60,000 debt. Okay, when there's a couple $100 million probably right around the corner of this Hawaiian trip. You know, just I like the fact that he's like, hey, I'm going to get in there, okay, and I'll mix it up or whatever, but I bet you Miles Teller will feel terrible at the end of the day. Hey, I'm sorry, I don't pay my fucking debts, and you lost out on a couple $100 million or whatever. I'm sorry about this whole Hawaiian vacation having to come to an end. Have you been invited out there? Are they just going to stay there forever? I've been on a couple trips that I've had that happen. Do you think that's going to happen here?
That they're just going to stay there?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they don't have any kids. I don't know if Aaron's still there. He didn't have any kids. You don't have anything pulling you back, do you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I said this earlier. You told us there's no way Aaron 30%. Retires. Okay? Hey, so that's what we're talking
up.
About. He was
up.
At 20% earlier. I thought after our first conversation before Jeopardy aired, so this is a long time before all this kind of became the way, he said to me, you made a leap and people called you an idiot for it out of nowhere. You know, and I've always had respect for that or whatever. And I thought about it later. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to retire. He's going to host Jeopardy. He's going to get the job. He wants the job. They like the job. The ratings are up. He did well. I mean, he got better every single show. This is going to happen. He's in Hollywood now. He's got a house over there. He's doing the whole thing. He's a MVP. He's made a bunch of money. He's won a Super Bowl. He's a guy. In my head, that's how I operate too. That's how I think. So literally, I got to the conclusion, oh, that's what he's doing. He's retiring. Then I woke up the next day. Then I saw Shailene Woodley's IG where he was like, I can do both. I'm still going to play. You said there's no way he retires or whatever. I start seeing these Hawaiian trips. I want to let you know. It was not a hard thing for me to dive back into the mindset of, oh, this guy's fucking done with football. Even though I don't know Aaron like that, haven't talked to Aaron, I could see how you potentially enjoy the hell out of your life. You've made enough money. You've accomplished a lot. You got other things that are available for you. $10 to $20 million a year, I've been told, is what they would pay to host Jeopardy, let alone anything else he would want to do, which venture capitalists, I assume he'll get into, other businesses, maybe other things. He might start his own companies. Who knows? Or maybe he just does nothing. I could think how he could... You know, see how he could get into a spot where, you know, I'm going to retire. You don't think that at all, huh? You think football is still definitely happening, AJ?
Yeah, I do. And, I mean, there's a reason Warren Buffett still works. There's 95-year-old billionaires that still work every day. Think about a guy like Aaron, a type A, like driven, one of the most competitive guys on the planet. He knows he just won the MVP. You think he's like, oh, Hawaii's pretty cool. This is nice. I'm just going to hang out here for the rest of my life. And also, his fiance is a working actress as well. So she's gonna shut her career down too? Like, you really think she wants to do that?
Okay, listen, I understand that I'm maybe being a little bit dramatic and see how happy he is, okay, over there. And I don't know Aaron as much as you, though. So, like, that's something where...
I'm just guessing, too. I'm just telling you, by, like, I cannot imagine him walking away when he knows how good he still is.
Well, that's... And by the way, I kind of thought that about Vinatieri with his last season, how it went and how it wasn't great. I was like, there's no way. Like, until he says it, and I guess this is why everybody, I guess, it was such big news when he actually said it, but I thought there's no way. And then you hear, like, no, he was trying. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Adam Vinatieri was like, yeah, I'm not going out like that. So I was like, okay, I did get the right read on my guy, but his body wasn't responding how he wanted it to. You saying, like, Aaron, there's no way Aaron is just going to be done. Like, that's not how he's driven. That means a lot, and that is probably exactly what you said the last time I assumed he was retiring, and I got completely out of it. Darius Butler, though, has gone from 20% to 30%. Are you back down now after hearing really close friends? One of his very close friends talk about him there?
Still at 30.
Okay.
Because it's the opposite. Because, like, Vinny, like you said, he had a season that wasn't great. So the competitor in him is like, hey, I got to get back out. I can't go out like this. I mean, A-Rod just got an MVP.
I'll tell you what, it's pretty nice to retire on top, I will say.
You know?
Yeah, going out the most valuable player.
Yeah, it's not a Super Bowl, but, that's, you know.
Right. I will say, you know, because the rest of your life now, people are going to say, is he coming back? He can come back. For instance, for me, anytime somebody punts bad or kicks bad, they're like, Pat still got Pat still got it. Hey, this guy was Pro Bowl last year. He can still do it if he wanted to. For people will say that forever, by the way, until I'm the age that people think I can no longer do it. And could I go make an NFL roster if I wanted to right now? Yes. I mean, that's something I could do. But there's never a thought like I'm going to go do it unless it's Tampa Bay Buccaneers and there's a chance maybe to kick and punt, you know. Ooh. For one game.
Okay. Something to think about.
BA.
Should we check on Luck every 3 months?
Exactly. Luck's coming back. Yeah. Yeah. That's what Aaron would get forever.
Yeah.
Aaron would be like, oh, hey, somebody needs to go to Malibu, court Aaron, get him on this roster. If he was on this roster, this team would be unbelievable. And it's like, Aaron's still jumping off waterfalls in Hawaii, pal. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. You're saying you don't see that from Aaron at all.
No, I don't. I do not see him just walking away. No. But I do think Brandon Jacobs should make a comeback, and I think the Jags should sign.
Okay, yes. So let's talk
and
about it.
He should play, though. By the way, he said if someone needs to give me a chance, DN, whatever. Yeah, you can play DN, Brandon, but I want to hand you the ball a few times a game, too. I can play against that guy. He's a monster.
You played with him, you said?
Played against him multiple times. Yeah, have fun tackling that dude.
Yeah, well, by the way, I got a chance to play against him one time. He was on the Niners, and he was so frustrated with what was going on. He went to hit his helmet off the bench, you see, and he ended up throwing his helmet 14 rows into the crowd at Lucas Oil, okay? 14 rows. It was awesome. I've never seen anything like it. Everybody feared him. When him and Ahmad Bradshaw were in the backfield, that thunder-lightning combo for New York was awesome. And Ahmad Bradshaw, by the way, one of the coolest dudes to ever exist. Very lucky to be his teammate in Indianapolis. He was awesome. Brandon Jacobs, though, I like his take. I like his take. Tebow ain't more athletic than me, okay? if anybody wants to give me a shot, let's go ahead and do this thing. I'll be able to figure it out. But this happened. Who was the wide receiver?
Calvin Benjamin.
Calvin Benjamin was like, yeah, I'll go to tight end. Yeah. Okay. What if this does start happening where guys maybe at their positions for whatever reason, it's not working anymore. And they're like, maybe I'll transition to another position. Now in the NFL, the best players are going to get on the field. You hope, unless there's draft picks or contracts that get involved and there's politics and everything. But if Brandon Jacobs can get out there and tackle the quarterback, there ain't a single coach on earth that would give a single fuck that he's a running back or old. Can he tackle a quarterback? Yeah. Get his ass out there. I like this whole thing, D-Bud. You coming back? You going to play a little bit? What are we going to do?
Come on, D-Bud.
Nah, I'm done. But I want him to get a shot if he wants one. I don't think he'll get one, though. Bree Jacob. What is he, 38?
Is he 30? Yeah, he's older than me.
He looks like a monster, but I mean, he's going to a completely different side of the ball, completely different position.
Yeah, but that's logic.
If he's going to come back.
You're talking about logic.
Yeah, I mean, guys change positions all the time, like, you know, in their 20s.
Why, though? Think about it, though. D-Bud, if Brandon Jacobs wants to come back, why doesn't he come back as a running back? Why try to play a position you haven't played in is, like, one of the most technical things you have to work on every single day, like pass rush moves? You can do that. Cool, but we want to have a few packages on offense, too, if you make the
exactly.
Squad. And I don't fully understand how Tim Tebow going to tight end is the direct equivalent to him playing defensive end, but I do like the thought that if Brandon Jacobs thinks he can do it, I think he can do it too. That's how I feel. Hey, and he just needs to go to Robert Mathis, Okay? Yeah. Do like 6-7 months with Robert Mathis up there, Gridiron Gang. Mm-hmm. Get it all down. See if he'll know if he's going to be able to get it or not with all the technical stuff. You're right, though, by the way. The hand, the get off, the stance. I mean,
that's tough.
It's very
just to look natural, just to look like you're supposed to be there in your stance and everything, which I'm sure Brandon does look like, and he's definitely physically gifted and still works out a lot, but I mean, that's such a specialized position. Listen to two like outside rushers just have a conversation during the game, throughout the game, and be like, oh, okay, this is not – they're not just trying to run up field and tackle the quarterback.
Oh, they're playing chess as well. Oh, okay. They're some of the greatest athletes of all time. They're incredibly powerful. They have great discipline with their technique, and they're also playing chess. But by the way, Brandon Jacobs knows that. Right. I mean, he knows that, I would assume. He's been around. If he thinks he can do it, I am not doubting him. But I do like the fact that he's like, I'm fucking more athletic than Tim Tebow. Okay, what are we? I do like that. That's potentially a narrative.
Did people come after him? He have to shut his mouth after they show the footage from yesterday's practice where Tebow just lit it up?
What are your thoughts on that footage?
Lit it up, huh?
Didn't you say he did zero drops, right?
Touchdowns, zero drops, and we saw him get off, hit a bag, and cut very quickly.
Are they allowed to do 7-on?
I don't know. That's what I was asking D-Bud.
I think some teams are.
Minnesota Vikings have them wearing soccer goalie helmets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can I see that? You have a picture of that? I don't know why I haven't seen that.
Look at that. Hey.
Wow.
Go back to pausing this, Zito. You know when to pause it. Look at that dip, dude. Bam. Look at his shoulder. Oh! Look at the dip,
that,
the rip.
That assistant, that coach has no chance with that pad. No chance. Okay.
The pad is a unfortunate spot to be in, and I've seen plenty of men get dumped on their asses because they weren't ready for it. I couldn't do it, by the way, so I'm not saying that I could do better, but that is a tough spot to be in when you just got Tim, Tebow, Keto, God running at you. Look at that first get-off step.
Yeah, that looks bad.
Well, it's paused, obviously.
Yeah, he also just added 50 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, what do you want from the guy?
It's terrible.
Look at that rip.
It's terrible.
Rip, good get off.
Boom, first down.
Hey, did you see that leverage, AJ? There ain't nothing anybody could do to that.
Hey, Ty hit it best. Boom, first down. That's all that matters. Move the chains. That's what Timmy does.
Well, and he doesn't drop the ball?
No.
No. Probably won't the whole time during OTAs.
From seeing Tebow, do you guys think Brandon Jacobs, without any training, could get by Tim Tebow, or could Tim Tebow block Brandon Jacobs? That's my question for you.
Hey, Tim Tebow doesn't have to block Brandon Jacobs.
What? He doesn't. In this hypothetical, it's, you know, fourth.
I live in the hypothetical where all Tim Tebow does is catch touchdowns.
Okay, yeah, but he's a running back.
He's not blocking anybody.
No. It is today.
He's potentially getting chipped. You're saying he's not getting off the line? Is that what you think? You're thinking he's getting a shot there?
I'm saying, you know, there's five guys. There's a blitz coming. It's Jacobs and Tebow one-on-one. Who's winning?
Timeout. Trevor Lawrence has got to read that. He's got to call a timeout.
And then they go back with the same play, and it's again, it's Jacobs.
Tim Tebow's going to have, his technique dialed in.
So you're saying Jacobs is blowing Tim Tebow up without any training.
Is this Brandon Jacobs post-Robert Mathis, pre-Robert Mathis?
This is pre.
Right now?
Yeah, right now, no training. Him off the couch, that photo that he posted, him shredded, huge. Dude who threw his helmet 15 yards into the goddamn stands. Is he blowing by Tim Tebow, yes or no?
At this point, Tim Tebow, I think, is taking an L in that particular case.
Yeah,
strip set.
But that's not who we have to compare it to. Is Brandon Jacobs able to do that to George Kittle? Is Brandon Jacobs ever able to do that to these other top tight ends? That's a real conversation. Okay,
absolutely. And so, you know, right back at you, is Tim Tebow going to be able to do that to DeForest Buckner?
Well, DeForest Buckner's in the middle of the thing, so let's hope not. But if he does get Quiddy Pay out there, I don't know how he's.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's going to do with old Quiddy Pay, Von Miller, Khalil Mack. The list goes on and on there.
Right.
He's not going to have to block him, though. He's in there.
He's catching touchdowns and moving the chains.
He's going to tight end you.
Hey, why doesn't Brandon Jacobs come back as a tight end? I mean, we know he's athletic. He can handle the ball. Why not that?
Yeah, why does he not want to be on offense, you think?
I don't know. Because he wants to just wreck shop on D for a little bit.
Yeah.
I do. I'm more athletic than Tebow.
Yeah. There's no way.
Had to throw that in there.
There's a lot of people thinking that, by the way. You know, OGs who kind of maybe still got a little, you know, a little athletic burst, you know, playing against their kids in knockout or whatever like you. And then all of a sudden Tebow's able to play baseball, football, another position. I'm more athletic than Tim Tebow. What are we even? He's ready to go, though. Hey.
Man.
That looks like defensive end. You don't think his get off is going to be good, AJ?
So I do think it. I said he will. He was a professional football player. He was a great running back and a giant dude. So yeah, it's not like he's going to. It's going to be completely foreign to him.
By the way, Brandon Jacobs saying, I ain't wearing no short ass shorts y'all motherfuckers are wearing nowadays.
Yeah.
Okay. This ain't that. I ain't it.
I thought the same thing.
I ain't it. I'm wearing these basketball shorts down to my shins because that's what we do.
OG
around. Yeah. I don't know about those thighs, skies out shit you guys are doing now. Everybody's rolling their shorts up, by the way. Soccer players started doing it. Mm-hmm. Now everybody in OTAs are starting to
NBA.
Do it. NBA starting to do it.
I think the Hoopers started that.
No, soccer players did.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. They had
nobody saw it though.
Yeah, no, nobody. I don't know if the basketball players did not see it. I'm not assuming that the NBA saw what the soccer players have been doing. But like Cristiano Ronaldo has been a thirst trap his entire life. He has his shorts.
Oh, that's his thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's like his thing. Yeah, but I love
LeBron
it.
LeBron bought Liverpool, saw them doing it, and then brought it to the NBA.
Oh, it's kind of like seeing soccer players with arm sleeves and then getting half of it done, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to finish it maybe this season with the Euros or next year with the World Cup. I'll figure it out.
He watched the World Cup, saw all the players with arm sleeves, mm-hmm. tatted sleeves, yeah. And he was like, I'm getting one of those tomorrow because Diggs is very much of what he's watching. He becomes. He has that cowboy hat on because he's Kevin Costner in Montana running a gangster family. That's what he's currently in right now. But at the time of the World Cup, because he was all the way in, he was Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He was Lionel Messi. He was every player over there had cool tats. Mm-hmm. And he scheduled appointments. He got the inside of his arm completely done. World Cup's ended. He's out. The outside of his arm's still not done yet. So he needs the next World Cup to really come through. Yeah. He's going to be able to finish it off. It looks sweet, though, Diggs.
It does.
Thanks,
Tom.
Man. I appreciate that.
Devon actually told me that's what he did with his sleeve. He was like, wow, the World Cup's amazing.
Soccer players? Is that why you got it?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Hey, that watch is really cool.
How can I tap into the World Cup? When do I watch those games?
We're not sure.
I think next November.
Next November?
But
next
listen, when it happens, it is all day.
Oh, yeah.
It is all day. It's like the Olympics. You're all in it. You're cheering for people. I don't even know if we're in this one.
World Cup. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ballistic.
We're back.
We're one of the best teams in the league this year.
We are in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. We lost one of them.
I know our women are usually good.
I think that was...
Yeah, the women have always won. They've dominated. Our men's team have notoriously stunk.
So, yeah.
Till now.
Now we got the guys. Let's go.
Got the ponies. Don't read into any of the atrocities that are being committed while they're building the stadiums for the World Cup, though. That'll really put a damper on your day.
A lot of deaths in that desert.
Will not. Where is it again?
That's in Qatar and Qatar. They decided that they would put the World Cup, not because they got paid hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to do so by somebody in Qatar, however, whatever you want to, Qatar, but because it was the most reasonable place. Yeah. This is what FIFA, it was the most reasonable place. I think average temperature, 135 degrees or
That's
something
right,
like
yeah.
that. They had no stadiums built, nope. None of them at all, but we got enough time. We'll just send people out there to build them. Everybody's dying out there building these stadiums.
Oh, yeah. Heat stroke. That's why it's in November. Gumpy
it's
was
in
telling
December.
Me.
It's in December.
There you go. Because it's so goddamn hot, they got to do it during the winter.
But it was because of them having the best facilities.
Right.
Obviously being the best place to host the World Cup, yes. Not because of the embezzlement, greedy corporate fat cats up at FIFA making that decision.
No.
Oh.
Beautiful stadium, though. Beautiful stadium. If you can get over the fact that you are playing on top of a mass grave, then it is a beautiful stadium.
And what do? Do we watch to support so that they didn't die in vain? Or do we not watch because there is bodies all over the floor?
That's a great question. Hearing that it is in December, I'm probably not going to watch it. I like when it's in the summer
football's
months.
Football's on.
Yeah.
That's
you got Euros in 2 weeks, boys.
What are those? We don't care. This is America.
All day, 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., all day long.
Who's playing?
All the top European squads.
Clear my schedule. Can't wait.
It's the World Cup for Europe.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like the world to me because America's winning the World Cup. And if we're not invited to their little European game, we're thankful for it because we want the war actually to get out of that fucking tournament. I'm not watching. I'm watching that. I'm not going to watch that because I'm going to stand with what went down. Not everything that went down, obviously, the more and more we learn. But the decision that was made that we don't mess with the queen anymore. Okay. No. Mm-hmm. And that was just a decision that was made long ago. It didn't officially happen until years after 1776. But I will. Are we going to make a lot of money off of that, Gumpy?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will watch. If Gumpy's going to bet in those, you feel good. Are those all the A teams over there?
Yeah, so England, Germany, France is stacked this year. Mbappe, Benzema's back, Griezmann, they're loaded.
What about Portugal? Okay.
Portugal is still in it. Ronaldo could throw him on his back one more time. They won the last one.
What about Argentina?
No, they ain't in it. They're in the Copa America. That's another tournament happening at the same time with Brazil.
What the hell?
So no Messi? No Messi in this one coming up? No.
He's in the Copa America.
Gotcha.
He quit that Argentinian team like five times, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, every time he misses a penalty, he just retires.
Sorry.
It's not a bad move. I respect it.
Let's go to Ross in New York. Ross, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too, Ross.
Thank you. Thank you. Just a question. No problem. When you, as a former player, you hear your quarterback come out and say that they didn't know the playbook very well, how does that make you feel? And also, Pat, what are you going to do with your $20 million from AJ?
Thank you, Ross. I will spend it on two houses. I've already sent them to AJ. He knows what he's going to have to buy. They are very nice. I'm sure he's proud of it. Tua, rookie, said he didn't really understand the playbook in the reads and everything last year. It made him tentative. I don't think anybody who's judging a rookie quarterback for that. You're in Miami. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
I mean, yeah, that's part of it. That's not on him. That's not wild to expect. Mahomes came out after winning the MVP saying he still didn't know how to read defenses. So partly on the coaches, but he's a young guy. He's got plenty of time to learn.
I think the rookie quarterback curve is something everybody expects. Peyton Manning threw the most interceptions in the history of the league his rookie year, and everybody was like, yeah, he still got it. Joe Burrow was dead a couple of times. They did not win a lot of games. He's like, yeah, he'll figure it out. I think it's just something that's understood. With Tua, there's a lot of other things. It's like, it may be the playbook is the main problem, but I think he didn't think a lot of people were open that were open in the NFL standards,
yeah.
And he was gun-shy on throwing it. I think that's one thing, but maybe it's because he didn't know what the fuck was going on with the offense, which could also lead to all those other second-guessings.
There is none of that with Luck. Like, when he came in, he was just so smart, he just kind of picked.
He knew the offense better than everybody as soon as he got on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made a check the first day of OTAs because he missed the first 4 weeks of OTAs or whatever because he was graduating in architectural engineering from Stanford or whatever, so he had to do that. He showed up, made a check to something that we had not covered yet, and they actually had to stop, and they were like, we haven't got there yet. Okay, he's like, oh, sorry, you sent me the iPad like a day ago, and I just
he probably got the playbook a few weeks before the draft too.
Yeah, I would assume, but they already knew that. Yeah,
yeah, he's a sharp dude. Yeah, he had a offense.
He had an actual photographic memory.
Oh shit,
Luck did. Yeah, Luck had it.
That's why.
Is that like, can you measure that somehow though?
Yeah, I think if you just look at it, and he got it, I think that's it. Because I guess that was what happened. Like they would show him something, and then he would just look at it. And was like, okay, it's over. Where Peyton, you know, like he had to like continue to, like, there's two different ways of, like, I assume schooling and learning and everything.
Are you a visual learner? Or do you learn better by reading text? Like, yeah, what is it?
Yeah, I'm a big reader. I'm a big, like, yeah. I need to see it. I couldn't read a playbook and tell you what the fuck it is.
I need to see it and write it out. Not even typing it does help, but if I see it and I write it, or even if I reproduce it, like, that's how I learn.
You're gonna fuck it?
What?
Hell yeah.
Suck it from The Office?
No, you said reproduce it. Are you going to
fornicate? Yeah, like make a copy almost, I guess.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Hell yeah.
You guys had to do the...
Thanks, Zeke.
My boy Zeke. You guys had to do like the quizzes, right? Where you had to draw in shit?
We had like the night before the game, we'll have quizzes. Certain checks that we need to know based off, you know, motions or shifts or something like that. But some people, like, everybody learns different. Some people you can... Meet PowerPoint everything to death, but they don't get it until they do a walkthrough.
The walkthrough is what all the coaches wanted, right? The walkthrough is like coaches want that. Now with the Vikings, have we got these photos of the Vikings? The Minnesota Vikings have introduced soft pads, and they have these helmets on that are goalkeeper from soccer helmets on Dalvin Cook here.
Yeah, high schoolers. I see high schoolers wearing those in 7-on-7.
Oh, yeah,
big 7-on-7 thing. Once again, started in soccer, I do believe. But
Peter Chach.
They won't get credit for
awful.
It.
Because they were all in their OTAs, they have to wear these?
I don't know if they – it looks like Dalvin Cook is smiling, which – I'm pretty thankful that I'm sure the Minnesota Vikings are pretty thankful that he's smiling about that, because that is exactly what I think Darius talked about, AJ talked about, JC Treader talked about, and everybody that talked about these OTAs where it's supposed to be half speed and it's just walkthrough and all this. Whenever you add that helmet on, you got a little skeleton on, people are going to fly around. This is going to become a full speed practice where if there is an edge to be had to potentially look better on film, to maybe get a job to support your family where there's only a certain amount of jobs, people are going to take it. People are going to go. I like that this helmet's on. Dalvin Cook seems to enjoy that this is on. But this is a sign of like, oh, these practices are about to get a little bit more intense if they're thinking about this. Don't you think, Darius?
Extra safety, man. I think it looks very stupid.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if he's going to throw that on, just put on a helmet or like nothing. I mean, we're pros. We got to practice. Like, we're not going to bump heads in a walkthrough. Like, come on.
What do you think here, AJ?
I mean, coaches may like it better than just like wearing hats and having to walk through. They probably think it makes the players like dial in a little bit more. But with how dumb those helmets look, I can't wait till the footage comes out of the first real fight during OTAs. You guys, two guys so pissed, trying to like, how do you with that weird no face mask thing?
Yeah, it's John McClane. Everything's changing.
Die Hard, right?
John McClane was from Die Hard. This particular John McClane, though,
Houston guy.
Will die hard as a Houston Texans coverage guy or media guy. He's the guy that breaks all the news out of Houston, basically. I think he's been around a long time. He is not happy with the new rules they are enforcing at OTAs. John McClane put out a tweet this morning that said they were given a notebook with the players on there for media. No names, no numbers on anybody. So watching the practice, there's no names, there's no numbers, there's no nothing on anybody. They're keeping that thing locked down. Media doesn't need to know who's doing well. Casario, Easterby said only God can judge anybody anyways. Why do we have any numbers on anybody? I'm sure coaches are pumped about this. Coach Dave has been thrown right into a fucking fire every press conference he has. I wish the media would be a little bit nicer to him.
Yeah.
He said everybody is participating in a Zoom call. Follow-up question. Everybody, including Deshaun? I'm not talking about Deshaun, obviously. This guy is going into it. John McClain's not happy. That whole thing with the media, and we talked about this with the Dallas Cowboys, the media and fans are allowed at their entire practices. They're allowed in the indoor facility. If you pay enough, you can get into the club, which is like a VIP area. You can watch their practices. A lot of people that I've encountered, if the media got to see nothing of practice and know nothing of what happened, they would be very happy about it. It's not good for the business, and it's not good for us, obviously, in the world we're in. But the whole keep the media kind of blind to a lot of stuff, in the fans and potential enemies and spies and however you want to view it, that is how everybody thinks. I would assume that Casario felt good making this rule about OTAs, so McClane be pissed off about. But other people are going to want to do this as well. This is kind of the old game of information is the king in this whole thing. And if you can keep info from anybody else, you're going to try to do so.
But they're not the first ones to do this. I mean, the Patriots do that. A lot of times they're wearing T-shirts. I know Mac Jones is wearing, what, number 50?
Yep.
So do they hand out rosters to, like, the Patriots beat writers with their new guys in their weird, old, like, first numbers?
I'm not sure. Darius, though, like, was there anything that you recognized or saw where people were trying to hide things from the media that would come in? And the media would only come in Indy for the first, like, period.
Yeah.
So it was very quick. There's other places there for, like, half the practice, I guess. Like,
New England.
Stretch. How do you,
they should only be there for stretch, usually.
Yeah, how do you even do anything with all that in there? I don't know.
I mean, you want to, from a football standpoint, is you want to keep as little out there as possible. And obviously Nick Casario, new GM there, he's coming from New England. But there will be times during the season where it'll be certain guys. Say I was injured and I wasn't going to practice, but I'll come out in my jersey and do stretch, do warm-ups, maybe do a little bit of indie, and then as soon as the media leaves, I'll go back in the training room. So the media said, oh, you know, so-and-so was on the field. A.J. Hawk was on the field practicing. He didn't really practice. I mean, they may put limited participant or some bullshit like that, but we used to call it the dog and pony show. So everybody plays these little games. You know, some teams, like you said, they put all the information out. Yeah, we plan on doing this, that, the third, but not a good move from the football standpoint.
Well, and by the way, you doing that, the reason why you're doing that is because if you're out, and this might have been when you were at Nickel or I don't know where you are, if they know D-Butt's out, like, the best nickel corner in the league at this point. It's like, okay, so if he's out, he's not practicing, we should set some things up to attack whoever's going in here. Like, all that little information, it might sound so minuscule. And even in the background of a live report, you see there's people in buildings. Yeah. There's people in buildings watching all of that shit. It is, even that little piece of information, it's like, hey, I think we potentially, this. They said he was practicing, but we looked at the report. He was kind of standing in the back. He had a thing on. Like all that stuff, everybody, whatever it is to win a game.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the question about, hey, Trevor, do you think you, Gardner, and Tebow are going to be on the field at the same time? It's like, Trevor was very nice. Like, I hope so, or whatever. Ask, like, one of the coaches there. It's like, who the fuck knows? If it's going to win us a game, okay, we'll do it. Like, that whole thing of, like, it's just, it's fascinating how people think it operates and then how it actually does operate. It's like every advantage is trying to get taken advantage of. Like, every single thing is trying to get taken at this point.
Well, and you're talking about the paranoia of the Colts coaches when, like, a plane or anything would even fly over the practice.
Every coach.
Yeah. They'd be thinking Belichick's trying to, you know, see what's going on over there.
It's like, what's that blimp doing? Is there a race in town? Why is that thing? Who's up? Ah, fucking Ernie's up there. Yeah. Every coach. So you're right. There's not everywhere is like that. I think that is why the Cowboys maybe.
Not enough paranoia.
And they don't
not
even enough. Know.
Even like hotel rooms. You leave playbook. A little printout or something in your hotel room, you know.
Going out to eat.
Patriots may have some housekeepers on staff.
Oh, yeah. Chefs. When you eat down in the team eating area at a hotel or somewhere else or whatever, if there's normally a ballroom or a room, we don't know where those chefs are at. You leave something on your table, they clean that up. I mean, there is... That shit is happening in the NFL, by the way. I don't want
it
you.
Yeah. Hey, I think I told you on the show before, Pat. We played a team, and one of their very prominent players left his game plan in the locker, and our coaches got it, and yeah, like, got a lot of the signals, different pre-check, like all of this stuff they could use the next time we play them.
And by the way, they did. There's stories a coach has told me of them chasing down somebody's somebody's papers got blown,
mm-hmm.
and they got taken off or whatever. And somebody on the opposing team, who was on the sideline of the game, saw one of the sheets get blown somewhere, and they were like, "Hey, go get that!" And they sprint down there, grab it mid game. They're like, an intel gathering mission is something that happens a lot. That's why I think when Spygate happened, mm-hmm. and it all came out to be what it is, and there's more news rolling out about that. By the way, politics has made its way into my timeline again with Spygate. Details being released now that weren't happening then. I think you heard a lot of coaches and players like, okay, what they were doing was blatantly, you can't go that far, but if they can get people signals, they're going to try to do that at all costs. It's just like, you know, that's why I don't think you hear as many NFL players kind of shout out about everything the Patriots have done, because they're like, we
still
all
got to make the play. You still have to execute. You still have to make the play, even if you know exactly what's coming.
Well, let's get to a break here.
Yeah, with the Super Bowl, too. Like, you didn't win the Super Bowl during that Spygate year, so I was like, who cares? They couldn't do it.
Oh, so that's all that matters, just winning the Super Bowl. What about all the other teams that were fucking working their asses off, living everything how you're supposed to live, and they don't even make it to the Super Bowl?
That's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, winning the Super Bowl is all that matters.
Just win.
But it is funny to think, oh, he's deflating balls, he's a fucking cheater. And there's probably some quarterbacks are like, let's not dig into this too much. It's not.
I don't care if that ball looks like a raisin. Who cares? He still has to throw it.
Yeah, you still have to throw it, still have to catch it, still have to dissect the defense. You know what I mean? He didn't, by the way, that game. DeQuell picked him off.
Yeah. That's right.
Which is why this all happened. DeQuell, by the way, freak athlete. So sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know that if you're not gambling with FanDuel, you're wrong. Okay, FanDuel Sportsbook is available in 7 states, I believe, at this point. 6, 7, 8. You get it. If you're not gambling with FanDuel Sportsbook, though, you're completely wrong. And if we're not in your state yet, we are coming to your state. We have better odds. We have a much easier to use app. The convenience is next level. The people at FanDuel actually refund people when they shouldn't refund people, giving back hundreds of millions and millions of dollars to their users. FanDuel Sportsbook is the best sportsbook going for a lot of reasons, most of them what I just said. We are very thankful for our partnership with FanDuel. Obviously, you know, there was a little bit of a miscommunication last week between myself and FanDuel. We worked that out. That's kind of how things operate whenever you're in a business relationship with each other. But even if we weren't in a business relationship with FanDuel, it'd be hard to say that we wouldn't use the FanDuel Sportsbook app. There are so many different ways to win. There's more things to bet on. Their boosts seem to always hit, which is just fucking themselves over time and time again. We love the hell out of FanDuel Sportsbook, and you will too. If you haven't used it yet, use it now. Also, there's fantasy on there, daily fantasy, and free-to-play games where you can win money. Shout out to FanDuel. Shout out to you. Let's get back to the show. I got a text, actually. Per my media source.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Because they had heard a conversation we had earlier about the Julio Shannon Sharp thing.
Sure.
They did not know. Fox, Julio, nobody knew that that was happening. And that is why we have seen the actions out of Fox that we have seen with the content since it happened. It has not been reposted. It ended abruptly. There was no follow-up questions. There was no nothing on Fox. Everybody else has talked about it. They have not. So what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? That is my media source telling me that information. I still hold on a little bit of hope that Julio knew about this whole thing. This is a wild trend to begin with, but whenever Julio has a new team, this will all be forgotten about, but it is insane to think about in this world that we're in right now.
Hey, wait, but Pat, so Fox isn't re-airing it? They're not. Are they not even talking about this? And ESPN's running but they're running the clip, right?
I don't think ESPN has run the clip.
Not the clip.
We have not run the clip either. We got a strike yesterday from the herd, by the way, on our clip.
Come on.
Classic move.
For running that Alex Smith interview. We should have. I mean, they ask us for a lot of clips. We always give the okay, but like.
Gave the shout out.
Yeah.
What do you mean you got a strike? What, from who? From YouTube or them?
They claimed it, gave us a strike, which, by the way, could happen. I mean, that is how this goes. I'll fucking remember it, though. Like, you know, like this is one of those things like I will remember because I am the one that sees all the emails asking for, you know, potential clips and everything like that in other places. It's just, you know, I thought we had a free flowing thing, but it might have been because of the whole Julio coverage that we've done this week with Fox, and that's the herd and all that stuff. I'm 100% sure, but that's a bad scene. I guess they have tried to bury it as much as possible over at Fox. I assume Shannon's not exactly thrilled that this has gone the way it's gone either. I don't know. Maybe he is. I'm not sure. Darius, your thoughts?
It's tough, man. It's tough. Tough situation. I'm going to leave it at that.
Hey, Fox is in a weird spot because it brought a lot of attention and eyeballs to their show. It was huge news. But then it's for something where they don't know. Are we in some legal issues here? We're talking to our lawyers. Like, how do we handle this? How? I guess a lot of it depends on how upset Julio is, too, right?
Dad. Well, and, like, our player's going to be like, hey, let's go talk to Shannon Sharp about, you know, some sort of thing that I want have on my mind now.
I don't know. Shannon alongside Skip. I don't know if Shannon was always – I mean, Club Shay Shay, the podcast, was starting to really do well there. Obviously, I enjoy his interviews. I enjoy him on the show. That show's not revolved around guests, though. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
In the grand scheme of things, but it won't be. It's just it's not much to talk about.
Now, until Shannon Sharp gets sentenced to 15 years in jail.
Yeah, you have not heard the paralegals on Twitter, obviously, D, but there's paralegals out there who have gone to a law school that say, hey, that's a two consent state over there. He could face jail time.
Goddamn. Will have to sue him or something?
I think it's just...
It's not happening. Just
be real. I don't know if the family or state of Julio has to sue or if it's just against the law. You just broke the law there. Like, you can't do what you just did there.
Just a heads up. We are in Florida and is a two-way consent. So just keep
AJ
mind.
Has agreed. AJ has agreed to be on.
Yeah. I consent.
Thank you, AJ.
So does Patrick in Ohio. What's going on, Patrick?
Z-Butt, Pat, boys, how you doing on this
Feel
Good Friday?
It was Zito. Everything's great. Thank you so much. And it's great to hear you, Patrick, in Ohio. What do you want to talk about, bub?
Well, first off, I wanted to say I'm not speaking for all the fans. I'm just speaking for the ones that count. I just wanted to say, fuck you, Jake. You know, we didn't deserve yesterday for him complaining about being on hold for how long he was being on hold for.
I appreciate you, Patrick. You know, I appreciate you.
He wants to complain. He needs to put down his pink dumbbells and go down to the nearest Starbucks and go get his soy latte with no foam and then go get his nails done and stop being such a puss. You want
to thank you, Patrick, for the call. Thank you for the call.
Okay.
He meant obviously very delicate and important to society. Whenever he said that word there, he did not mean anything else by that, as if it was weak or anything like that. He meant very delicate and important to society. Ain't that right, AJ?
Yeah, yeah. Soy lattes, I hear, are some of the, like, the, that's what the Vikings used to drink, I heard.
Well, and macchiatos as well. Everything you kind of want after. Vikings. Let's go to Jay in Chicago. Jay, what's going on, man? Shout out to Patrick in Ohio. That's Ohio call. Yeah. That was an Ohio call, by the way.
Guy's awesome.
What do you got, Jay?
Hey, what's up, Patrick? Called last week. Big fan of the show, D-Butt.
Yep.
AJ, everybody, the boys. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, also bear down Zito, I forgot to say. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I walk into Goody's office and say, hey, I'm fucking Aaron Rodgers. Without me, you guys would be Detroit for the past 25 years, okay? Give me what I want, and if not, I got a sore shoulder. You got to still pay me my money.
That's what you should do, AJ. Have you told him to do that?
No, I have not, but I definitely will. Zeke, can you clip this? I want to send it to him. Maybe I'll Zoom with him and show him the clip.
You might as well give him the Patrick from Ohio clip as well.
Yeah.
True.
You know, I don't know what type of soy lattes potentially over there in Hawaii, but after Miles Teller gets punched in the mouth in the bathroom at the restaurant you guys are at, I'm assuming there could be a little bit of a pick-me-up. I think Patrick in Ohio could do that for him. Let's go to Zach in Oregon. What's going on, Zach?
Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Not too sure.
Got a question for you about multi-sport athletes, MSAs. You yourself, great multi-sport athlete. LeBron James could have done football, but he did basketball. I was just wondering if you think that potentially, if he would have tried hard enough and not focused on basketball, if potentially, LeBron James could do a 900. Thank you.
Oh, it's skate?
Oh, yeah.
Skateboarding?
Tony Hawk.
I mean, with how big LeBron is, probably get good momentum. Okay, on that half pipe. Darius, with your extensive research on skateboarding, do you think LeBron could do a Tony Hawk 900 or a kickflip if he had to? If it's all he did with his entire life?
Kickflip for sure. 900, is that like 360, 720, like that?
Yeah. Tony Hawk did it. Yeah. That ain't nothing to sneeze at, because when you're going up there, by the way, you're blind to what's behind you.
That's right.
And you're like 25, 30 feet in the air. You know what I mean?
So I used to play the video game, the Tony Hawk game.
Hell yeah.
That was one of my favorites back in the day, but I don't know about a 900.
Some bodies aren't built to skateboard.
Tony Hawk's the only guy to ever land the 900. Yeah. I mean, unless we're talking maybe Bob Burnquist, it ain't fucking happening, okay?
Another
skating legend.
What about
Bob
Scheckler, dude? Ryan Scheckler's out there.
Scheckler fucking stomped.
Scheckler's doing that.
Scheck could do it.
Scheck could definitely do that. What are you talking about?
No.
Rob Dyrdek does it, I bet.
Rob Dyrdek could definitely do that.
He's a street skater, okay? He ain't hitting the half pipe.
If he needed to or wanted to. Hey, by the way, he's from Centerville, isn't he? No, he's from...
He's from Kettering, where I was born.
Kettering, yeah. He's from Ohio. He's an Ohio guy, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously a lot of skate legends. Nobody's Tony Hawk out there.
Shout out to Mikey Taylor. I had Mikey Taylor on the man.
Shout out Mikey Taylor. Mikey Deal, I believe.
Thank you, Mikey.
Let's go to Daniel in California.
Maybe Bucky Lassick. Maybe.
900.
Sheesh.
It's tough.
Daniel in California, where all the skaters live. What's going on, dude?
Pat, AJ, Darius, the boys, feel good Friday. Thank you for having me on the show, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, Daniel. What part of California are you in?
I'm in Palm Springs. California, Southern California.
Nice. That's where the Coachella is, right?
I actually work right next to Coachella.
Nice. Okay, I was there once. Got trapped out in the middle of that desert for about 5 fucking hours. Yeah, it was impossible to get back to L.A. because the traffic was insane. But good times, good people, Danny. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, it's pretty fucking miserable, but good times.
It was. It was very miserable, actually. Yeah. I had a terrible time, but you're probably a good guy. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, everybody gets stuck in it, so at least we're all miserable together.
There we go. Yeah, it is kind of. I feel like everybody's miserable.
It's my birthday today.
Hey, happy birthday, Daniel!
Thank you. Woo! Appreciate you guys. I was trying to find a way to feel good because I just got my new Penguin sweater, and now I feel stupid wearing it. But
which player?
87.
Yeah, don't ever feel stupid wearing the greatest player of all time, Daniel. Happy birthday. You're welcome, says Sydney. Are the Panthers doing this thing?
Done.
Oh, no.
They lost to Tampa.
Yeah, done.
Good run.
You know, I was driving.
We got a studded gold. We got a stud in the net, though.
We need him. We're going to try to get him. We're at Steelers. Yeah, we're going to try to steal him from your team because your team, you said earlier that there's nobody down there around where the Florida Panthers are playing where you're walking out of the gas station and they're saying, go Panthers. Right? No. Nobody's doing that.
No.
We talked about that because Ty walked out of a gas station right down the road here in Tampa Bay and two people passed each other and he said, go Bolts.
That's right.
Go Bolts. And Darius was like, yeah, they ain't doing that down in Miami or whatever. You know what's very interesting? I saw Tampa Bay Lightning like flags flying on the back of cars all over the place here. Mm-hmm. And you know, they didn't do that in Florida. Florida has no idea. South Florida has no idea the Panthers exist. You know what I mean? They have no idea that that team exists. No. Darius has no clue. If Darius wasn't such a big hockey guy, they wouldn't even know. They made the playoffs. Guess who didn't? The Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, yeah.
All that just to shoehorn that joke in.
No, it wasn't a joke. It's not a joke.
It's real.
This is a sports truth show. Mm-hmm. Florida Panthers have zero fans that know they exist in their home city. They made the playoffs. They lose to the reigning Stanley Cup champs, obviously, Tampa Bay. But nobody even knows they exist. They're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Red Wings didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll get back there. I thought hockey was over, though. I thought we were done with hockey talk on this show.
We are. It's over.
It's dead.
Big game.
Tonight. So is Miami Heat, by the way. You're fucking
shut dead. Up, Fox.
Yeah, the Heat are done.
Heat are dead.
Oh, yeah. With the Man. Celtics.
Your
yeah,
fanhood's,
the Celtics done, too.
Your fanhood's dead, too, yeah?
No, absolutely not.
You're going to pull for the Lakers now?
We'll be back next year. I like the players, man. I would like to see the Nets and the Lakers match up in the finals.
Me too.
I would like to see that.
And by the way, that's outside, not NBA fans' perspective as well. Like, give me the three best players in the East and give me
it's gonna happen.
The two best in the West and have them play against each other. That's what we all want to see. I assume Adam Silver wants to see that. With the Clippers, have they played since going down 0-2?
No, they played tonight.
Yeah, they might just get
they might get swept.
Yeah,
they're done. And Real G's moving silence like Giannis, and it seems like they're probably done as well. The Nets team, they scored 71 points, okay, in the first half against that Boston team, and they were fucking around. Yeah. Like, they are, this is what, their 10th game together all season? They're only going to get better and better. Nets-Lakers should be a beautiful one, but I want to see the Nets win, strictly because the Nets paid the most money, tried the hardest. They wanted to win. I want them to win. That's what I think would be fair. Don't you, AJ?
Yeah, that does seem to be the most fair situation. And also, this would be Steve Nash, his first year coaching, correct? And he just won a championship?
Yep. Steve Nash was brought into a white privilege conversation earlier by Stephen A. Smith when talking about Tim Tebow, by the way. Because remember, when Steve Nash got that job, it was a big deal. It was a big deal that he got that job over others. Now, I don't know if any other coach could have been able to handle this year in that with a player. I think a player had to be kind of in there, somebody. And I'm not saying Steve Nash. I mean, if they win, he was the right guy for the job. But with everything that was going on in the world, I think you had to have a guy who was a real player-oriented, team-oriented. Steve Nash has done a great job. Now, Phil Jackson's greatest coach of all time, right? He got to coach MJ, Kobe, and everybody. Steve Nash has a loaded team. Is that Steve Nash's fault, or should we actually talk about how good of a coach he is because he had to keep it all together somehow?
Right.
I don't know. There's always like 10 different ways to talk about that whole thing.
Managing those personalities. I mean, it's two-time MVP. You know, he's a great point guard. I wasn't upset that he got that job, but I mean, to get those players, I was like Kerr and the job he got with Golden State.
Well, Nash was coaching with Kerr, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Was he?
Yeah, he was coaching.
Oh, he was like a consultant.
Yeah.
Kerr won his first year. First year is like a big thing, I feel like, for the NBA.
The NBA is a big
Ty
thing.
Ty Lue win his first year?
Yep.
LeBron.
Frank Vogel with the Lakers.
Yeah, Frank Vogel, Nick Nurse with the Raptors.
By the way, Vogel had that Pacer squad going for a long time, and then they kicked his ass out of town. Now he's just going to win probably 5 or 6 with the Lakers or whatever. Good for Frank. Congrats, yeah, Frankie. Yeah. Good guy, by the way. Frank's a good guy, as is everybody else on that list. But like I feel like managing egos is a big by personalities. You can say personalities, but that's old school saying managing egos. Personalities, though, is a big deal. And it's not just egos, by the way. So personality is a much better way to describe it because there's probably sometimes where guys are maybe riding real lows instead of just real highs all the time.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the NBA. I think it's a big part of professional sports in general, and that's more position coaches as well. I think that's why Clyde is so good at what he does at quarterback position because he's able to, hey, this is what's going to be expected. This is what they're going to want. Let's go ahead and make that whole thing happen. But if you're, I think that's a skill that is not something everybody has, and I think it kind of gets shit on a lot. It's like, if you can get the best out of the best people, like, you're also probably up there in the group of like who could be the best at what they do, you know?
And there was a time this year where Kyrie Irving just like was basically radio silent for like 2 weeks, and everyone was asking Steve Nash like, hey, what the hell is going on with your team? It's like, look, I don't know what's going on with Kyrie, but like I can just make do with what I have, and they were still, you know, a good team.
And then going into playoffs, Kyrie said, basketball does not matter.
No.
Yeah.
And Steve
yeah.
Nash is like, hey, listen, I understand, man.
I know it does.
You got your mind on bigger things, but all we need – we need just 60 minutes right here. Yeah. Just need you to pass, do whatever the hell you want to do, mm-hmm. all right? And then afterwards, you want to save the world? We appreciate you for it. We just need you to show up. That's a skill in of itself as well. Yeah. Just like Tom Brady allowing Bill Belichick or BA to chew him out. Like, yeah. that's a skill yeah. that people don't, you know, account
or
for.
Or Pop. Like, Pop. Because there's different ways to do it. You saw Pop with Duncan and Parker and Ginobili down there with the Spurs. And then you got a guy like Kerr or Phil Jackson who let Dennis Rodman go to Vegas for a few days because – shit, it's Dennis Rodman, and that's how you can get the best out of him. So you got to be able to manage those personalities, manage those egos. That's the big. I think that's the thing that's not talked about enough.
Who was the guy down in Miami?
Eric Spoelstra.
Oh, Spo, yeah.
Spoelstra.
Yeah, yeah, Coach Spoelstra.
He was handed the Heatles.
Yeah.
Right?
The Heatles.
Yep.
Spo's a good coach.
Yeah, he's a great coach.
Yeah.
Great coach. He won.
Of course. He's crushing it right
couple
now.
Times.
He's still there.
I saw him with my own eyes.
Yeah.
My own fucking eyes. In an Indiana Pacer, Miami Heat playoff game, which happened like four straight years or three straight years, whatever it was. I was front row right behind the Heat's bench, okay? Didn't have my standard behind the hoop seat. Okay, I think Lil Wayne was at this game. Mm-hmm. Like, I got booted out of my seat for Lil Wayne, by the way, which is, hey, cool. I didn't pay for it, but I'll get it. I think it was Mike Epps, Lil Wayne, and somebody else was sitting there or whatever. And I was in front row right behind the Heat bench. There was a timeout called in the second half in a very pivotal time. And he sat there with the dry erase board with the marker in the middle of the huddle and didn't move that thing one time. Didn't say one single word. It was strictly for the optics to make it look like he was doing something. And then at the end, they like hand in, they just went back out there. It was like...
Were the players talking or...
No, nobody was talking. Just sat. Everybody was quiet. Dwayne Wade was here. Braun was sitting down over here. I think Bosch was maybe standing up. He just sat there like this. It was like a scene out of a movie. And I'm like, is he thinking? Is he thinking? That was the entire timeout. Okay, see you later. How you doing?
And catch your breath.
From that moment, I had... lost a little bit of respect in old Spoelstra's coaching ability. But maybe at that point, he was like, I didn't have anything to fucking say.
Well, yeah. Good luck,
LeBron. We're playing like shit. Figure it out there, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just buying into the part, you know?
I mean, when you got a guy like LeBron or James Harden, any of these guys, Chris Paul, like, these guys can pretty much run the show. You know, it's on you to manage minutes. Like I said, through the week, personalities, things like that. But these guys, I mean.
What's up with Chris Paul? He goes to new teams every year, puts them on the back, carries them to the playoffs. They'll win. Why does he get kicked out everywhere?
I don't know. It's a good question.
He gets hurt in the playoffs, like, I feel like, consistently every year.
Yeah, but he takes a new team to the playoffs every year, though. He's the head of the union, right, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that why he gets kicked out?
He is ultra competitive, like almost to the point where like his teammates hate him. Like they respect the hell out of him, but like I think it's kind of like a Kobe thing where it's just like, fuck, this guy's a lot.
Yeah, because you can do that shit when you win chips. But if you're not winning.
Yeah, like him and Harden in Houston, they were really good. Almost beat the Warriors. And then he gets hurt and they end up losing. And then James Harden's like, hey, I don't really.
He and I were talking on a T-Box, right? Didn't we talk on a T-Box?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, because the news broke that he was going to be in Space Jam, and he was like, where the fuck did you see that?
I actually said, congrats on your role in Space Jam, and he was like, where'd you see that? I was like, it was a notification. He's like, these people. He was mad. That was our interaction. I thought I actually was going to get a good pop, like, hey, here we go, and it was not. It was like a complete opposite. It was like, okay, this guy. But he got loose as the round went on.
Did that come out? Is that the LeBron Space Jam? Did that movie come out?
The trailer did. It's fucking way better than the first one.
No, that's incredible.
When's the last time you watched the first one?
Come on, Darius. You know I didn't watch it.
Jordan is in this second one as well.
I watched The Last Dance, dude. I seen it.
I got to go back and watch the first
one. The first one, unfortunately, it does not hold up.
No, that's not true.
It does not.
Jordan's in the second one, too, by the way. So LeBron needed him.
No, it's a series, right? That's how movies do. You watch a lot of these things. Isn't that how it works? Like in Star Wars, is that old fucking all of them or no?
Everyone said that it would not be the original's plot at all and a new story. Just number two.
Oh, so same name, different series, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's normal
and
movies.
And they said, no Michael Jordan, and then now it's coming out.
Who said no Michael Jordan?
LeBron himself.
When?
I don't know.
Oh, you're just making this up. Z just making this up.
I don't know.
It's like the New York City blackout.
There was a power outage, AJ. You know that.
I don't think any of us do know that, actually.
Sure. I believe you, Z. Because
we're in blackouts.
We were told by Shrek. You watch Entourage?
No.
Did not. That was one of those shows everybody talked about. I never got into it.
You'd like it, T-Bud.
Jump on in, T-Bud. You would like that show.
Yeah. Give it a run.
Is it one of those binge? Can I binge it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I think it does hold up, too, I've been told.
Okay.
It does.
Which seasons?
Some people say there's a few in there that don't.
Watch through season five, then you can pretty much shit can it after that.
Yeah, quite a money grab late there. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah, it does not hold up.
What do you mean? Oh, I mean
really?
I've heard that from a few people.
I watched it for the first time like 2 summers ago.
The acting is so bad. The acting is so
bad.
It's
not about the acting, it's about the story, damn.
Not Piven. You're not saying Piven is a bad actor, are you?
No,
no, Piven's great.
There ain't no fucking way Vince was getting cast in a Martin Scorsese movie, I think is what he was saying.
And Jim Cameron. He was in Aquaman with Jim Cameron.
Yeah. That ain't happening either.
Beat Spider-Man.
So it doesn't hold up? I was told it does hold up. Foxy, you just watch it. You said it was good?
Yeah, I loved it. But yeah, there are moments you watch it and you just have to laugh to yourself because it's just like, what the hell was that?
Oh, it was terrible. You know?
But I still loved it. Kind of just in a cheesy way.
The Office, too. I never got into that one either.
The original? Or
that one. The original. Everyone talks
with
about
with Ricky Gervais?
No.
Oh,
no.
Cool it is.
You don't know.
With the guy from Anchorman.
You don't know who Ricky Gervais is?
No. The dude from Anchorman, Stephen Carell, is that his name?
Yeah. Hold on, no.
Yeah, wait.
You don't know Ricky.
I know the black dude from the GIFs, or GIFs, whatever it's called.
Okay, cool. You'll enjoy the Office.
Characters.
You'll enjoy the Office, okay?
Okay.
From Steve Carell, 40-year-old virgin as well.
Yeah.
You will enjoy that. The creator, though, is a guy named Ricky Gervais. He's a British guy, okay? He's a comedian. And he is one of the most hysterical humans walking this earth. You would love Ricky Gervais. So instead of watching The Office, what I'd like you to do is watch some of Ricky Gervais's stand-up on Netflix. And then you'll go ahead and get in a rabbit hole and you'll get a chance to experience this. This is going to be your new favorite comedian, I think.
Let's do it.
No. Watch his Golden Globe hosting gigs. That's where he's funny.
Yeah.
His opening monologue.
So he wrote The Office?
Yeah, he's the original. Okay. Yeah, he was the original. Yeah. He was the guy. By the way,
they brought it over here.
Yeah, he like creates everything almost, this guy. Just big brain. He's very rich. It's a part of his
and
entire.
Hollywood hates him.
Hates him. He hates them.
Yeah.
Very religious.
Oh yeah.
Which religion?
The one that doesn't believe in religion. I believe. Yeah. Yeah. When we die, we're going in the ground. Big fan of that.
Afterlife.
Loves animals. Yeah.
Great show. The invention of
lying. He created. I mean, there is
any similarities with him and George Carlin?
I don't know enough about George Carlin. I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't
like
know.
Him.
He's a very, Ricky Gervais is.
I'm going to check him out.
He goes on the stage to stir shit. Yeah. Like he's going out there staring it right down and does not care.
Check him
out. He's very, very, very good.
The first thing that's happening after this is showing D-Butt that Golden Globes opening monologue.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that in itself will just kind of, it's a good intro for you.
Okay, we have some updates here from Tom Pelissero. The Bills have given Reed Ferguson, whose brother Blake Ferguson is the snapper for the Miami Dolphins, a $675,000 signing bonus as part of the 3-year extension through 2024 that he signed today, per source, the NFL's new highest paid long snapper. Let's go, Reed. Hey, that Ferguson family is up-down quarterbacks perfection. They are very talented. Blake is at Miami. He was at LSU, won a national championship down there. That is a position you have no idea exists until they fuck up. If you don't fuck up, you're around a long time. You make a lot of money. $675,000 signing bonus, though. Good for him. A lot of people are going to be pissed off about that, that are fans. Like, why are we paying a long snapper that? It's because he could ruin your entire season with just one eighth of a second hanging on to the ball too long and snapping it over somebody's head. Insane position. I would never want to do it, but that is the one that if you want to get your kids into it, and if they're great at not fucking up, they can make money forever doing.
What do most are most long snappers in the NFL, were they D linemen in college and high school?
Tight ends. I think there's linebackers. Luke Rhodes was a
athletic
linebacker
too.
Tom McMahon like kind of forced him into snapping, I think, on the side. Now he's the guy.
Great. If you're a linebacker that's on the fringe, you know, you're a fringe guy, it's a long shot for you to make a roster, and they say, hey, let me take some snaps at get your ass over there, take some snaps.
You can be the backup long snapper. If you're the backup long snapper, the more you can do. Luke was the backup long snapper there for Jacob Tammy. He was our backup long snapper. He had a snap to me one game there for a bit. He was good.
Tight end.
Yeah, tight end.
I think Nick was a backup long snapper for the Patriots.
Yep.
He said he could pick up Tim Tebow and throw him on him.
That's some scary shit when that long snapper gets hurt. That changed the whole game.
It was awesome. By the way, changing for both teams.
Yeah.
The other team's like, hey, the long snapper's out. Okay, are we going all-out blitz? Mm-hmm. Or are we going all-out rush? Or are we sitting back because this punt is going to be terrible? there's two different strategies. Because if you go for it, it's like, all right, it's going to be slow. Op time's going to be slow. There's no way that person knows how to block either. We can probably run some little games up here at the middle. Or do we sit back and let them just kind of let this whole thing fall apart? He might snap it over his own head here at the other time. It's kind of both games there. I only had one game. Jacob Tammy, Justin Snow, we're playing against Tampa. I think it was the same game that Eric Foster hurt himself down there. It was not cool. That was a bad, nasty leg snap down there. Justin Snow covering. I think he got blindsided concussion. See him go into the thing. He's like, all right, he'll be back. All of a sudden, we get the ball. We get past the 50. It's like, okay, it's going to be a field goal. I guess he'll be back. Then all of a sudden, Jacob Tammy comes. He's on the offense. He's getting balls. He runs over on like first down or second down. He's like, hey, I got to get a couple here. Takes his gloves off. He literally just came off the field, snapped a couple. He's like, yeah, you're good, dude. We go jogging on the field. It was... He nor I had a clue what was going to happen. He was really good in practice, but it's a whole different ball game when it's in the game. He delivered a seed. Perfect.
Ooh, nice.
Bang, how you doing? Let's keep it moving. I did a full celebration behind him. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to snap again, I don't think, after that. But, yeah, it's a game changer as soon as that happens.
What would you say? Rush? I mean, go all out?
I'm a big rush guy.
Yeah. Blow right through him, block the punt.
I'm a big, get somebody laying at the feet of the punter every single time guy. Because I hate that. So like,
it gets in your mental?
No, you just got to think about it. You just got to okay, I can't be.
So it gets in your mental?
No, nothing gets in my mental. It's a steel trap up here. Go ahead and look at the stats, especially towards the last four. Nothing really gets me, but it does make me think these motherfuckers are bringing it. Okay, so I got
to I don't mean in a bad. Like I'm saying, you're able to overcome.
But
you have to think about it.
Yeah, but the way you're saying it gets in your mentals. It is a negative connotation.
You said no, but I have to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but.
It gets in your mental.
Yeah. Yeah, but the way you guys are saying it is like in a
it's
negative.
Like a quarterback.
Yeah, you took it as a slight to you. Like you feel offended right now.
I do, yeah, because it did not.
Because you had to bring up your stats and everything. I was giving it as a compliment. Like, no, you're able to overcome the thought.
No, you weren't.
I know somebody's at my feet.
That's not what you were saying.
It is. We know. It's okay. You're going to be fine.
Get that row back, three-quarter zip on. Okay, you get that row back on. Okay.
Support the sponsors, man. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying you're starting to, get crazy. But, yeah, it did fuck with me, actually, a couple times. Yeah. Yeah, I saw Ed Reed, by the way. We're playing against Baltimore there early.
Greatest punt
blocker
rusher ever.
Ever. I think 40-some seconds, maybe a minute, something left. We're up, two, and it's a very close game, and we're punting. And I see him go put his hand down in the dirt. I'm like, well, he's not coming in to hold up. Yeah. That is not a hold up over there, okay? That is a Brahman down in Houston. Then he went over to Philly. Anytime he was on, his head seemed to be this large.
You guys had a nickname for him. I didn't go to many special teams meetings, but
what was
I went
it?
To enough to know the nickname.
We call
and
him
he was
Stallion.
A guy, too. Wasn't he a good
We call him the Stallion, yeah.
Okay.
Was that a good name?
The Stallion?
Yeah, he was a Stallion. You look like a horse out there.
That's a good nickname.
He was a Stallion, yeah.
That was not the nickname.
That was the nickname. Yeah, the Stallion.
D-Bud saying it's something else from what it sounds like.
That was the nickname.
I'm not going to leak special teams information.
Hey, look at the Stallion over there. Guy looks like an actual horse is running through.
Oh, so it was a horse joke as for his head.
It wasn't me.
You're a sharp guy, Connor.
It was not that.
It
don't even allude to that.
You call him horse head.
No.
Okay.
No, we call him Stallion. Okay. This kid's a Stallion. And by the way, he used to twist his hair. He had long hair. He would twist his hair like a horse's mane would. It was unbelievable. The guy was a Stallion.
Twisting his hair, massive dome. So it wasn't Stallion. You guys had something ruthless for this guy. Huh?
No.
Yeah.
No, we did not because he almost broke my leg. He blocked like three punts against us. There is nothing. I had the utmost.
So he was in your head?
Brahman?
Yeah.
He was in my mentals. Brahman was in my mentals.
Well, hey, Pat, wouldn't.
And not just mine, by the way. The people who had to block him, apparently, he was in their mentals, too, because they forgot how to fucking do that every time he stepped on the goddamn field. What's that, AJ?
When you said people, you would put somebody at the punter's feet. Don't you think that's key? Like, wouldn't you do that to the kicker as well? Every time, have someone fall in front of him. Because that you absolutely have to think about that.
Well, and the veteran rushers, the edge rushers for field goals, they will always walk in front of the kicker. Like, mm-hmm. Even if they're nowhere near it, they will just walk in front of the kicker, like, every single time. And you see it on film where somebody's, like, rushing, they don't have the edge, and then OG will turn back around and, like, walk right in front of the kicker, you know? It's just like that little, oh, are they close? And then, like, some people will yell, right? Ah! Yeah. And then I will have to, like, make sure Vinny knows, like, he's not even close. Not even close. You're not even. Yeah, I am. I will get the next one. Not even close. There's, like, a lot of that. Because Vinny, though, that would never happen. Right? That would never happen to Vinny. Vinny is never in there. But you could see how some guys, like, rush. Like, oh, no, this guy's on. And Ed Reed, the first time I thought about just catching the ball, throwing it. Hey, it's been a great week. Hope you enjoyed it as well. We got a long weekend ahead of us. We'll be back on Tuesday. Hope you have the greatest weekend of your entire life. To all the boys, thank you so much for your time. To all the guests, thank you for your conversation. And to you listeners, you're the fucking best, dude. All right? Hope you have a better weekend than everybody else on earth. We'll see you on Tuesday. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into the greatest Memorial Day weekend of all time. If you enjoyed the show, please be a friend, tell a friend. If not, fuck off. All right, see you Tuesday.